So we're looking at the fruits of the Spirit. We're still working our way through this little series. So let me read Galatians 5, verse 22 for you before we dive in, where Paul says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." And we've come to joy this evening. Now, it's important, I think, that we recap the first study that we did in Galatians before we even started looking at the fruit of the Spirit as Paul presents them here. We looked at them as a whole in all of Galatians, and we concluded, didn't we, that the fruit of the Spirit are not a list of things that we are to flog out of ourselves. Do you remember? That's so important. That's to cheapen them, as if there's something that we can stir up from within ourselves. It's to place upon ourselves a crushing weight of responsibility to put in enough effort to get that fruit out of ourselves. Rather, we studied Galatians 1 to 5, didn't we? And we finished off by saying that the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of Jesus' Spirit, which he bears in us. Remember that? It's the same Spirit of Jesus who bore the fruit of the Spirit in him when he was here, who bears the Spirit, who bears the fruit of the Spirit in us today. And because of that, we determined, didn't we, to look at the fruit of the Spirit as it is born in the life of Christ. That's where it's to be seen in its purest and most wonderful form, and that's where we are to get it. That's really important that we keep that all in mind. And thankfully, with the wonders of YouTube and things, you can go and look at the study again if you've forgotten it or anything like that. So there's that. So we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, joy, this evening. And I found these books really helpful in it. Okay, so I'm going to give them a quick plug. Yeah, there's this one, The Fruit of the Spirit Is by Fesco. I think you can get that in the bookshop. And this one is a lesser known one. This one was a gift to me from somebody in church, so thank you very much for this. I found this one really useful. If you mention that to Robin, maybe he can get it for you as well. So there you go. Those two were really helpful to me in the preparation of these studies. Now, we've come to joy. Do you normally think of the Lord Jesus, our Saviour, as a man filled with joy? I suspect that we sooner remember him as the man of sorrows, don't we? Acquainted with grief, and that he surely was beyond the rest of us. And yet the scriptures do tell us that Jesus is the single most joyful person that has ever been. Did you know that? Can you think of the verse? Turn with me to Psalm 45 and verse 7. Psalm 45 and verse 7. Where this psalm is all about the Lord Jesus marrying the church. And he says here in Psalm 45, verse 7, the psalmist speaking to Christ says, "You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." You've been given joy above all of your companions. Isn't that so significant? He's saying here that God, your God, so God the Father, has anointed his Son with oil. That's a symbol of the Spirit in the Old Testament, isn't it? He's given him the Spirit, and the Spirit has given him joy and gladness above everybody else. And so as Jesus received the Spirit without measure, it says in John 3, doesn't it, that he received joy without measure. And that's what we're tapping into this evening. There's this chap called Leopold. He said that an ineradicable joy is inherent in the entire being of this hero. Now, since the same Spirit is in us, as is in our Savior, the Lord Jesus, we can anticipate, can't we, that the same things which made him supremely joyful will also make us joyful. Doesn't that make sense? So we're looking for common causes for a common joy in the life of Christ. So what things gave Jesus great joy? Can you think of many verses in the Gospels where it talks about Jesus rejoicing or being full of joy? there are only a few instances where we can tap into this sort of thing in the Gospels. But before we look at them, let me put them all under one umbrella for you. They all fit in one box. You ready? What is it that gives Jesus his joy? It's knowing his Father. That gives him the supremest joy. That is the foundation and the capstone of all of his joy in the Holy Spirit, knowing his Father. And you can read more about that if you want to in Proverbs 8. But we won't go there now. We haven't got the time. But if you want to, you can go there later. So let's consider now four instances where this comes out really clearly, that knowing the Father gives Jesus that supreme joy. Now, tapping into this, we'll understand it a bit better, and maybe we can mine more of that joy out of Christ ourselves. So turn with me to Luke's Gospel and chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. This is where we'll see the first two of those four that I just mentioned. Luke 10. This is the only instance in the Bible, in the Gospels at least, where it talks about the Lord Jesus rejoicing or being filled with joy. So it says here, Luke 10, and we'll start at verse 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, he's speaking about the gospel now, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you heard, and did not hear it. And we'll leave it there. First thing to mention here is verse 21. Jesus' joy here. The word here in the Greek, it really is worth commenting on. Often isn't, but here it really is. It's an exuberant word. It's in multicolor, if they had colored pens. It's bold. It is bursting. It's a joy which is just rippling out of the Savior. It's something from within, deep, and it bursts out of him. And notice there that it's in the Spirit. And we remember there, Psalm 45, the Holy Spirit given to Christ, and it fills him with joy. But why is he so joyful here in this little passage? Well, here's the first one. Seeing his Father's ways. Seeing his Father's ways. You see it there. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven, because you've hidden these things from the wise and revealed them to babes. Jesus' joy here is a worshipful, praiseful contentment with the ways of our Father. He is eminently happy with seeing his inscrutable ways, witnessing the providence of our Father, his hands at work in the world and in the lives of human beings like you and me. He is just thoroughly, through and through, pleased. He's just so glad to see our Father at work in this way. In particular, here he's talking about our Father's sovereignty in salvation, isn't he? About hiding the gospel from some and revealing it to others. You might remember the words of Jesus in Psalm 18, where it says, as for God, his way is perfect. Now, the Holy Spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ gives him that joy and contentment with seeing the Father's ways. And the same Holy Spirit is in us. And so we also are full of joy when we see God's ways unfolding in front of us, doesn't it? Isn't that true? When we see him at work in our lives and in our friends and family, we call it good and we rejoice. And that's regardless of the circumstances that it brings about. You might remember in Mark 7, where the Lord Jesus is going around and he is healing people and preaching the gospel. And people say he does all things well. Or we remember Romans 8, where it says all things work together for the good of those who love God according to his will and purpose, that we should be conformed to the image of his Son. All things that he does are good, and it brings us joy regardless of the circumstances that it brings about. Do you think that's easier said than done? What about lockdowns? What about when the Lord's providences prohibit us from coming to church? What about having unsaved friends when he hides the gospel from the wise and learned? What about when we have unsaved family members? Well, this is the place perhaps to mention that joy and happiness are not the same thing. What's the difference between joy and happiness? Well, to put it one way, we happen to be happy when good things are happening. Happiness depends on circumstance, doesn't it? When things are going well, we're happy, and when they're not, we're unhappy, we're sad. But joy is not like that. Joy is not what has been called Cheshire Cat Christianity. It is deep. It is contentment which does not depend on the circumstance. It's so deep within us that it requires an outside force to move in and give us that joy, give us that contentment. Can you think of any examples? Have you ever seen it in other people? How about when we have brothers or sisters in the Lord Jesus who are bereaved? They lose their friends, they lose their families, their wives or their husbands. And with their sorrow, with their grief, with their deep sadness, is a joy in seeing the ways of our Father unfolding in their lives. It's inexplicable because it comes from outside of us. It's the Holy Spirit moving in. And it's in this way that the fact that our Savior could say, "Not my will, but your will be done." And he goes to the cross cheerful, full of joy, full of agony and grief and sorrow and pain, but full of joy. The second thing that we see is Jesus' joy at conversions in Luke 10, because that's the context here. He sent 70 of his disciples out into the surrounding areas to preach the gospel, to tell others to repent and believe in him and receive the forgiveness of their sins. And when they come back, they say, "Even the demons were subject to us," and so forth. And they've had success in preaching the gospel. And so Jesus is full of joy. That's what he's responding to in verse 21. So when we said that it falls under the umbrella, Jesus' joy is in knowing the Father, is he content to share that joy with others? Of course he is. He doesn't steal it, harbor it, and keep it all for himself, but his love for the Father, his joy in knowing him, just spreads, it spills, it bursts out of him. It says that on the way to the cross, it says, "For the joy that was set before him," that is, reaching the Father and bringing others with him to meet the Father. That's what brings the Savior so much joy. He loves it when other people come to know his Father with him. When God-hating, sin-loving sinners come to know the perfect, loving, holy, and spotless Father as their Father, in and through Jesus Christ, his Son, he loves it. He is so happy to bring other people to know the Father in him. Joy at conversions. Now, the same Spirit that made Christ that happy at conversions is in us. And so we are also so happy when we can bring our friends and our family and our neighbors to come and know the Father through the Son. Our joy is in salvation too. It's in us, in our salvation, and in the salvation of our friends. Our joy is in our salvation, our eternal life, which Jesus defined for us as that they know you and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Our joy in the Spirit is settled in knowing the Father, just like Jesus, settled in knowing the Father and bringing others to know him too. Do you remember what it says? When a sinner repents, comes to faith in Christ, and through him knows our Father as their own Father, all of the angels in heaven rejoice. They are filled with joy. And this is why that the Church of Jesus Christ has always been and shall always be evangelical. That is, gospel telling, bringing others to come and know the Father in Jesus Christ too. It brings us great joy because it brings him great joy because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. One of these books that I mentioned to you at the beginning says, one of the deepest joys of Jesus was to be himself free and to free others. I don't know about you, but this brings me so much happiness to think about that. If seeing converts while he was here made him so happy, the tens, the hundreds, maybe even the thousands, while he was having his earthly ministry here, if that brought him joy, just imagine how much joy it brings him to look upon earth today and see millions and millions and millions of people coming to know the Father through him and his atoning work for them on the cross. Just imagine the joy that fills his heart when he sees so many people coming to know our Father. So that's the first two, seeing the Father's ways and then seeing conversions. Now turn with me to John 15, John's Gospel and chapter 15, where we'll see the third. This is part of the Upper Room Discourse where we spend some time on Sunday. John 15, and we'll read from verse 9. Jesus says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." The third one here is obedience, obeying his Father. If seeing his Father's ways, bringing others to know his Father, and now obedience to his Father brings him great joy. You might remember the words of Christ again in Psalm 40, where it says, "I love to keep your law, my God." Jesus' joy comes from knowing the Father, abiding in the Father, obeying the Father. The cross is the supreme example of this, isn't it? Where it says he was obedient even to the point of death, the death on the cross, all for his Father, for the joy that was set before him. Now, this joy that comes from obedience is very rare for us to experience, isn't it? Because we don't really like doing what we're told. Because of sin, because we're quite self-centered, we like to do things our own way. So the only time I could think of to sort of illustrate this for you is the joy that you might have in pleasing a loved one with your obedience. You might remember your parents when you were little, perhaps a favorite teacher in school. When they say well done for doing a task they've asked you to do, it makes you feel good. You're quite happy about that. Well, times that by a million or something, you know, this is the joy that the Savior feels and knows when he obeys his Father. Do we love the Savior? Yes, of course we do. We love him. His Spirit is within us. We can't but love him. Well, isn't it true that we love to obey him? And it brings us much joy. It brings us his joy to obey him. And we hate it when we disobey him and it gets us down. It's wonderful that he says here, "I've spoken these things to you that my joy may be fulfilled in you." His joy. There was this very, very old brother in the Lord Jesus Christ that we share. His name was Cyril. And Cyril says that when Jesus says, "my joy," he doesn't mean that he has pockets full of joy for him to dispense to us as and when we obey, but rather it's the same joy that is within him. The same joy that the Son feels and knows when he obeys his Father in heaven, that is the same joy that we experience in the Holy Spirit when we obey him. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? The last one is in John 17, and this one's shorter. John 17, the passage that our pastor read for us, and there in verse 13, where it's where Jesus is speaking to our Father, he says, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Now, of course, this is still in the context of the farewell discourse, as it's classically known, where Jesus is talking about going away to the Father. And when he's there, he will send the Spirit. And here, Jesus is speaking about the same things. He's saying that his joy is fulfilled in us when he ascends to his Father, sends the Holy Spirit to us. Do you see how it all comes together here? When you and I forsake this world, when we forsake the kingship of ourselves, and we turn to Jesus Christ and his kingship, his kingdom, and we call him our Savior and our Lord, he gives us the Holy Spirit. He moves in. And from that point on, we come to know the Father in the Son. And so his joy fills us up too. Jesus goes to the Father, sends the Spirit, who fulfills his joy in us with an indwelling knowledge of God. The depths of this truth are just utterly intoxicating. Do you see what Jesus is talking about here? He says that God sends God to live inside you so that the same things which give God joy will give you the joy which God feels. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that so otherworldly that the joy which we feel is identical to the joy which our God feels in knowing the Father, in seeing others come to know the Father too, in obeying his word and doing his will, all in the Holy Spirit? With all this in mind, do you really think that when Paul says in Galatians 5 that the fruit of Spirit is joy, he means cheer up? No, he says, walk in the Spirit. That is, know the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit and be filled with his joy. And so the challenge, just like Sunday, is not bear fruit, cheer up, smile. The challenge is get into Jesus Christ. Draw from him the joy that he has in the Holy Spirit by knowing the Father. His ways, they will please us. Seeing others converted, they will give us great joy. Obeying him and his word, they fill us with happiness and rejoicing, all in the Holy Spirit that we have because Jesus has given him to us. Forget any ideas of bearing that fruit in and of yourself. We're talking about God indwelling us and bearing his joy within us. It's something that only he can do. Amen. I'm going to read one verse from the book of Jeremiah before I pray very quickly, and then we'll sing together. This comes from Jeremiah and chapter 9. If I can find it, I'm not used to using this Bible. Where are we? Jeremiah 9 and verse 24. This is wonderful, isn't it? Let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that there are things that you are so happy to see and to know, There are things in which you delight and things which give you great joy. And Lord, we pray that we should be allowed to taste these things too in the Holy Spirit, in and through our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, to that end, we pray that you should wean us off the lesser joys of this world, off the stupid little things, Lord, that we think are joy when we give in to temptation, when we indulge ourselves and go after our own fancies, when we chase after things that we think make us happy. We pray, Lord, that you should wean us off these addictions and give us over to joy in the Holy Spirit through knowing you, our Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through him alone. We bless you for these wonderful truths and pray that they should become more and more present realities in our lives. Help us to understand these things, we pray. And above all, we pray, give us the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom all these things can be true for us, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing together now from our supplement. What a wonderful change my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And there's a wonderful chorus here. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy over my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. Number 102.